A blessed morning to you, and welcome to Zion for the services of the Lord's house on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Let us begin our worship service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, God Bless Our Native Land.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the July 12, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Bill Breen, Linda McEwen, and Brian Thiethen. Our opening hymn, number 965, is God Bless Our Native Land, hymn 965, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Lyndon and Nola Dittus are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast to the glory of God in honor of their 38th wedding anniversary.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the office of the keys, what is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent.
The epistle reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 12th verse. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. According to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he had sowed, some seeds fell along the path. and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn 595, O Blessed Spring, hymn 595, found in the Lutheran service book.
Thank you.
Our sermon this morning is based on our gospel reading for the day, the parable of the sower. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about it. I don't know what it is. It might be life in general, or it might be the specific happenstance of life. But think about it. It doesn't work the way you expected it to work. Take raising children, for example. Okay? Most of us don't think we're going to do it like our parents did. We are not going to make those mistakes. We're not going to do those things. But what we are going to do is we are going to make a whole nother set of mistakes and a whole host of other issues. We make the mistake of believing, not consciously, of course, but we do make the mistake of believing that our children will be us. The same tastes, the same likes, the same dislikes. And all we have to do is take that precious little blank slate and impress upon it the right instructions, and voila. You have a perfect life. Plug it in, push play, and everything is fine. Except that it doesn't work the way you think it should work. Your kids have their own personalities. That's the nature part. They have their own personalities. And life experiences they have in their own lives that all conspire to form them into a highly specific individual. That's the nurture part. It's not that you're a failure by any stretch of the imagination. Rather, it just doesn't work the way you think it should work. And oftentimes, that is for the better. And sometimes, it is for the worse. Jesus' disciples find themselves in the same boat that you find yourself. They have come smack dab into an encounter with a man whom they are convinced is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one promised to Adam and Eve. One of the two. These are Jesus' disciples now. You remember when John the Baptist was preaching. And one of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And then in another time, years later, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who did the people say that I am?" And again, Peter responds on behalf of the disciples. Some say Moses, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets come back to life. "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds on behalf of the disciples, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the disciples confess Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. And so convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, these very same disciples do not understand why other people cannot see it. Why are other people not getting the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world? And this brings us to the age-old question. Why some and not others? Why are some people saved and other people are not saved? It's a question that we want answered in our own lives too. Why do kids who are raised in the church, who are taught to trust Jesus as their Savior, end up rejecting the path of salvation? Now that rejection causes us no end of pain in our own lives. We know what is at stake. There is either an eternity in heaven and the resurrection of the dead with all the joy and glory that God can offer to those who trust in Christ. There is perfection and freedom from suffering. There is living with a resurrected and glorified body. Then there is the choice to reject God's generous gift, reject salvation in Christ. And what does that bring with it? It too brings a resurrected body. There is a body that goes with all of that rejection. There is a body that does not share in the wounds of Christ Jesus, but rather manifests in its flesh all the sin it refused to let Jesus bear. It is a body of pain and misery, a body of suffering, a body of torment that didn't have to be, but rather it was chosen. For the gates of hell are locked from the inside, not the outside. And those with hardened heart would rather suffer than be saved. You remember the rich man and Lazarus when he says, "I am in anguish in this fire. Send Lazarus to touch my lips with just a drop of water, for I am in agony in these flames." That is the resurrection to damnation. But there is still the question of the why. And quite frankly, that is an unanswerable question. Paul tells us God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We know that. We know that the gospel goes out graciously and liberally. What did we just hear last Sunday? What did Jesus say? He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All. The call goes out to all. Not just a few, not just some, not just a select group, but "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What about how the sower sows the seed in this parable? He sows it out graciously. He sows it out liberally. It goes out all over the place, this seed does. And it is an indication of the generosity of the sower. But once the seed is sown, what conditions does the seed find? This parable tells us some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. Dear friends in Christ, we have an enemy. And we ought not to ever forget that we have an enemy. And the enemy is active in each one of these soils that the seed falls into. There is an enemy who wants to snatch and to steal and to kill. And so what is this first soil? We must remember, first and foremost, that our enemy is Satan. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He is the tempter who, out of spite, misled Adam and Eve into rebellion. And the funny thing about Adam and Eve's rebellion, it didn't feel like rebellion. It didn't feel like they were going against God and His Word and what God asked them to do. It didn't seem like rebellion, but it was. Satan has orchestrated this whole ungodly mess that we are in. And the ministry of God's very own Son met with demonic rejection and met with opposition. And people used lethal force against Him. Ultimately, what do we learn here? It isn't always going to work the way that we expect. We can be right. We have the simplest message to proclaim that ever was in the world. God sees our lost condition. God sends His only begotten Son to rescue us from our sin. We have been saved through no work of our own, and our response to God for this is a hearty thank you. That's our message. Say, God does all the work. God saves you. You say, thank you. And your life that you live is a life of thanksgiving to God. It is in response to what God has done for you. It's easy and it's simple and people reject it. The devil is at work. Have no good but yourself. Be the master of your own destiny, the captain of your own ship. We understand that we can have the right doctrine. We can be friendly and warming and charming. We can hit all the right buttons. We can be right and do right, and still people will reject. There will be no faith. There will be no discipleship. There will be no understanding. God must reveal the message. And the person must open their eyes and refuse to reject God's work on their behalf. In each of these soils, there stands the enemy, ready to snatch and to grab and to steal and to kill. When one hears the word with joy, but trials and tribulations arise and they have no root, they succumb to the temptation. They too hear the words, did God really say? Look at the trouble you're having. Look at the problems in your life. You must see and you must understand, says the devil, that Jesus doesn't love you. If He loved you, your life would be easy and you would have all good things. But now you have trial and tribulation. Can this really be the one true God? We must counter with the words of Jesus Himself. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If we encounter the thorny ground, there are tares among the wheat. Remember the parable, the tares among the wheat? An enemy did this. So says the master of the house. An enemy came and sowed weeds in and amongst the wheat. So yes, we have an enemy. And if you encounter the thorny ground, the thorns are the lure of the world. Fun, riches, all sorts of activities, vacations, trips, experiences, all these things that lure us away from hearing the Word of God. I've got something more important to do than hearing God's Word. Then eventually, before we realize it, our faith is eaten up. And the word that was planted in us slowly dies to the smiles that are on our faces. And then before we realize it, we are a Christian in name only, posting Facebook platitudes, but it is only a shell of our former Christianity. And where the word once flourished, there now remains no kernel of wheat. Now, we don't have all three soil types all at the same time. We encounter them in different places and in different ways, and some we will have and others we won't have. But the fact remains that we have a spiritual enemy. We have the devil. We have the world. We have the deceits of stuff. We have our old Adam in us that battles against the things of God. But remember, it is Jesus who is the truth itself. Jesus who informs us of the existence of a real and personal devil, the Diablos, who is a real and true persecutor, one who comes and accuses you. It's not just feelings that we have, but it is real, direct, satanic opposition besetting our minds and hearts. And in the face of such opposition, we must place all of our lives into the hands of a loving God and commend ourselves into His care. Then we remember the final soil, the fertile soil. A heart that does not reject but is open to the Word of God and open to the truth of Jesus Christ. That He is the Messiah. That He is the only Son of the true and living God who has come to this world to bear all of our sins on the tree of the cross and to be a curse for us. He has won the forgiveness of sins so that in Him we would have life and salvation. And in that life we go forth and we go on and we serve our neighbor, loving those around us and proclaiming the name of Jesus in all the world. That is our call. Our call is to go and to tell and to proclaim. It is God the Holy Spirit who works in each heart in His own time. Some, like Pharaoh's, will be hardened and harden their hearts, and then others will repent and they will trust God. We must be in there in that mix. Praying for all those who hear the Word of God. Praying that their hearts would be softened. Praying that they would not reject the Word and eternal life. Praying for all people who are beset by it, whatever it is, praying that they would hear, that they would listen, that they would take to heart the Word of God, and they would come to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy Lord, Your Word does not return to You empty, but accomplishes Your purpose. By Your Spirit, make our hearts good soil for Your Word, that by such faith we may bring forth in our lives the good works to which You have called us. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of life, continue to sow Your Word through the fields of the earth. Bless our congregations as they proclaim Your truth. Prepare the hearts of all who hear to believe and yield abundant fruit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, bless parents with faithfulness as they plant your word into their children, that they may grow steadfast among the cares and troubles of this world. We ask that you would build up Lauren and Mason in the faith and protect their family from the assaults of the evil one who is angered by the baptism of their daughter Scarlett. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, all the nations of the earth are yours, and besides you there is no other God. Give our leaders the desire for peace and stability and the ability to govern wisely. Let them plead the cause of widows and orphans and serve the needs of the least among us. Bring an end to war and strife and allow all to live in peace and safety. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Lord, look with mercy upon those who suffer from illnesses of body or mind. Be especially, we ask you, with Joanne Marlin, as she gives you thanks this week for the successful medical procedure performed upon her. We ask you to give the ailing healing. We ask you to comfort them with your presence. Grant them the patience to endure suffering and assure them at all times that they are your dear children and that the glory of Christ awaits them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to hear our prayers on behalf of Lucas Ross, the nephew of Jason and Elizabeth Rage, as Lucas will enter the hospital this coming week to undergo surgery on his brain to help him alleviate the seizures that affect his body. Lord, he has faced these seizures for many years, and any surgery is scary and overwhelming, especially if you are only 9 years old, as Lucas is. So we pray for a safe surgery. We pray for wisdom and steady hands for his doctors. We ask you that you would give Lucas a smooth recovery and that you would grant peace and trust to Lucas's parents and to his family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Merciful Lord, we give you thanks for the many blessings that you pour out upon us. Preserve us by your word, that our faith might not be choked by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, but that we may use all your gifts in faithful service to you and our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Bless, dear God, our family vacation Bible experience that will go on here at church this evening. We thank you for those who have prepared and made ready the activities for this afternoon and this evening, and we ask that Christ be proclaimed within our walls to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for you alone do we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the Internet stream and Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is number 921, On What Has Now Been Sown, hymn number 921, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Seated. Please check your Zion's light for any announcements that are of things going on in the church today. This afternoon is the Vacation Bible School Experience, starting at 3 o'clock, I believe, and then ending at 6, and we'll have a family meal at the end of it. So everybody is welcome to attend that family meal here at 6 o'clock this evening. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
On wheels, man.